As the silent seconds dance in their eternity about me and set aflame again the fire to inspire my nimble fingers to procure the pen and awaken it in a resurrection, transforming the ink to the blood of the writer. As once again he bleeds his acquired wisdom like a light into the world.
Good morning, Carbro and the Big Chill. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, coming at you here from WCOM 103.5 FM out of Carbro. I'm in the studio with my co-host, John Paul.
Did we mention that this is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else?
We just did, and you just did again.
Oh, we did. Well, I would have said that if you hadn't said it, but since you said it, I won't have to say it.
I'll just go ahead and put a cap back on that bottle, and remember, this is not that kind of a speakeasy right now.
What are you talking about?
Repeat the title.
And this is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else.
Boy, have we waxed poetic with that one this morning. We have the privilege of having in the studio with us this morning, Alex Weiss. That's the German way of saying it,
Weiss, but it's actually
Weiss. Alex Weiss. He is the leader of Different Drum, mm-hmm. And we're going to debut his new CD today, as well as what, Alex?
Some of the roots of my inspirations for the music that comes through me. It's good to be here.
Wonderful. Great having
Claudio
you.
And
good to have you.
I wanted to make a quick mention at the request of my co-host and also musician John Paul McClellan that the piece you just heard, the opening segue to the speakeasy. What's the title of that piece again? Even though I wrote it.
The blood of the writer.
That we're using that as the introduction to sort of point to things literary. The composition, musically, was written by John Paul, the lingering note, and the language itself by yours truly. And John Paul wanted me to mention that this morning for some reason.
Well,
I think John Paul
should know what they're listening to.
I see. All right.
Yes.
Well, eventually we're hoping to get a bit of a honky-tonk opening as composed by Clay McClinton, son of Delbert McClinton.
Yes.
But he hasn't managed
to
pull that off yet. Yeah,
possibly.
At some point. Otherwise, we may just jump the gun and create something different ourselves. But for now, this is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, here in the studio with Alex Weiss of Different Drum. Hmm? Back to you, Alex. So the name of your new CD?
It's called Songs of Hope and Protest.
And what, may I ask, inspired that?
Well,
other than obviously what the title suggests.
So many things were happening that are just
still
not
are.
Right in the world,
absolutely.
And particularly in this country. And it just became, to me, the next thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Music comes through me and ideas come through me, and it just became, well, let me focus on this now, at this time, in our history and what's happening in our government.
I think if you have any form of expression in you, it moves you in that direction.
It's like the fruit was ripe on the trees for picking.
Yeah.
And just a lot of things. So then my songs are instrumental, and I just found these lyrics coming out and forming, and I would put them together with melodies and see where it went. And, you know, I call this the perfect prescription for an election year, this CD.
All right.
It's kind of to balance some of the other stuff that's coming out.
Let's hope it's actually an election year and not a deception year, as we've had so many of.
Well, I'm afraid it's a little too late for that.
Yeah, right.
But we'll cover that in the unmedia section.
Have your coffee and go to your room, please.
So the first song on the CD that we're going to play is one that actually I wrote way back in the 90s. Well, it's not that far back.
And this is on a new CD?
Yeah, on the new CD.
Oh, something that you just sort of held.
I wrote it for one of the first Earth Days. Maybe
interesting.
It was 1990. Or
it was definitely in the 90s, yeah, because I went to New York for them.
And I was doing a lot of stuff with kids, and I wanted a nice melody that would, you know, and that would be catchy, and then so I used a calypso melody, a common one that my parents used to cha-cha in the living room to.
All right.
And gave it an environmental message. And when I realized I was doing this CD of Songs of Hope and Protest, I realized, well, this would fit.
It's very relevant to the whole issue.
So it's more on the lighter side, an environmental.
And this is entitled?
L.A. Farewell.
L.A. Farewell, John Paul, if you want to go ahead and activate that.
It's a takeoff of Jamaica Farewell.
And are we going to let it lead right into the second?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll go right
and the second is called
Tropical Paradise Nightmare.
Here we go.
And these songs, you mentioned when we were speaking before the show, certain music forms.
These two are both in calypso style.
All right.
The style of Trinidad, Tobago, and Jamaica.
I used to live in those regions, so it'll be like home.
Well, it's interesting because I played with some guys from Trinidad and Tobago a lot over the last 10 years. We'll talk about that later. Here we go. Alex Weiss.
Because of the water, it was all brown. My heart is down, my head is turning around. There's too much pollution in this here town. Sounds of traffic everywhere as the natives are rushing to and fro. I must declare there is no air, and if I don't leave soon, I think I'll choke. And I'm glad to say I'm on my way. I cannot stay in L.A. My heart is down, my turning around, there's too much pollution in this here town.
No trial, no conviction. Is this justice or just some fiction? 'Cause the land of the free and the home of the brave took Iraqi citizens to enslave. Preemptive strike was the solution, though you won't find it in our Constitution. We'll be right back.
they beat, they cheat and they steal. Their greed and corruption is just unreal. But the time will come when they will pay for the crimes committed at Guantanamo Bay.
And we're all going down the drain from the sound of that one. Yeah. Bravo, Alex. That was a brave commentary.
I love that.
Thank you. I appreciate your sense of democracy and courage with that one.
And a little bit of sense of humor.
Yeah, a good sense of humor. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, especially
I'm
like...
I'm not sure a sense of humor can be applied to the White House.
Well, I mean, you have to laugh or else you just cry all day long.
Yeah, I know, that's for sure.
I mean, it's so horrible, it's funny.
It's interesting that you used Calypso music, because Calypso, to me, has always been the music of commentary.
Yeah.
And many times to stir up rebellion against corrupt governments in the West Indies and Caribbean countries.
Yeah, and they would sometimes disguise it slightly.
Yes.
In a way to make it, you know, passable, but, you know, well, they use what in what's that word that it's kind of can mean two different things at once?
Double entendre.
Double entendre. Yes, right. Very much so. Yeah. Very much so.
Basically, I was keeping with the tradition. And
one of my biggest regrets when I was in the Caribbean, and I used to record everything, was that I didn't record some of the pirate radio stations that were coming right off boats out at sea late at night that the federales were trying to hunt down but could never quite catch. Because I would love to have had some of those commentaries coming across in the background of my own work while. In some recordings, so it's much to my regret. But they would basically use Calypso music as a format of introducing their show, playing for a while, entertaining people, but then come on with these devastating commentaries against corruption.
Yeah, don't worry, the CIA recorded all those things.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Maybe we can go get those files.
Yeah, we'll just go get those freedom of information requests.
Yes, the Kennedy hitmen recorded those.
Indeed.
Anyway, so give us some more idea on the inspiration behind further works. And also, did you want to introduce any new artists?
Yeah, the beautiful voice that was leading those songs was Lisa Yannick.
Yeah.
She's been living in the area for a long time, leads her own rock and roll band, and also has a jazz quartet that she was wonderful to work with. And the harmony on the first song, which was L.A. Farewell with Shayna Adams. She's featured also on some of the other songs. They both of them, I brought them together. They work beautifully together.
Beautiful voices.
Shayna, I haven't heard of Shayna.
No, she's relatively new to the area. Uh-huh. She's trained in opera, and she does a lot of... she works for the Durham Arts Council, promoting the CAPS program, which I'm a part of.
Oh,
so
okay.
In a sense, she's kind of my boss.
Okay.
All right.
Good work, Bossy.
She'll be at the... We have a CD release concert. Not a CD release concert. A house concert coming up this Saturday, and she'll be singing a few tunes at our house.
Oh, at your house. And, literally a house concert.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we call theaters houses when we're...
We have a big room and actually lots of rooms. We could fit 60, 70 people in there.
Oh, that's pretty good size. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you just did a gig at Weaver Street. When was that? And how did that come about?
Last Thursday? That was good. That was fun. We did two sets. And the first set was all African, or almost all African. And the second set was pretty much Latin.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
And we call ourselves Different Drum, the Afro-Latin Ensemble. Mm-hmm. And I love to bridge those connections between Africa, particularly through the rhythms, into Latin America and this country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a great blending. So the next piece we're going to is entitled. Read me the
this
title.
This is Introducing Clarity, and I incorporated it on the CD because, in a sense, philosophically, it fit in with Songs of Hope and Protest. It's more on the hope side. And it's a song I wrote a long time. Well, clarity mm-hmm. is kind of letting light through, and that's when I wrote it. Seeing the light coming through, the sun was going down. It was a very dry, clear day. And this melody came through, and it kind of like worked its way, and then kind of wing.
It's a beautiful metaphor.
And I used a Nigerian rhythm called Batakato, and I slowed it down, and I kind of let this rhythm, this melody, flow over this rhythm. And I did this in two different CDs, because I don't think it'll never be a pop hit, this song. It's kind of a esoteric kind of tune. I never get tired of it, and my drummer in the band never gets tired of it.
Who decides on what's a hit anyway? Come on now.
Eventually, I'm going to put Alex and Different Drums' Greatest Hits. But anyway, this song I redid, because it fit in with this, and I did it in a totally different way, and I thought it would be interesting to hear this song on the latest CD, Songs of Hope and Protest, and then the earlier version. So Introducing Clarity with the Nigerian rhythm underneath it.
Makes me think of a statement that one of my absolute favorite musicians and singers made, the now late Dan Fogelberg. But his line was, "We must kick at the darkness until it bleeds daylight." We are definitely in that phase now. Yeah.
It also features Senor Blanco on vocals. And I'm willing to give away a free CD if anyone could. Can they call in?
We don't have lines open for that just yet. We will in the future.
No, we could do that anytime. Yeah. We can do it.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to. Well, I didn't realize we had that particular
what were you
service.
Say you were
if anyone could tell me who the singer is on this,
Senor Blanco is.
Yeah.
Uh
huh. Uh-huh. Well, all right, we'll leave
Mr.
it open.
Mr. White,
then.
I don't know who that.
It'll
be
our first call, in if that happens, because we haven't had the lines open up to now.
Yeah, we can try.
We're making history with Alex Weiss, and we are now going to the title, please.
Introducing Clarity.
Here we go.
Thank you. sun and froze by the cold. And then the wind will blow you, because life is always changing.
Yeah.
Ah, I can see clearer now.
Yeah.
And that was, of course, introducing Clarity.
Yes.
Alex Weiss.
And Clarity, by the way, also is a matter of focus.
Mm-hmm. You don't say.
You don't say.
Don't look
actually,
all that focused today yourself.
So that's how it kind of fit in with the theme of Songs of Hope and Protest.
Yeah.
So I decided to put it in
you
there.
Shone a little light in there.
Yeah. And the CD actually covers a broad spectrum of environmental songs. There's a solo piece for a recorder that I wrote for a woman that actually got arrested protesting old growth logging. It's called For the Trees, and she put her neck with a kryptonite lock onto the rear axle to stop them from.
Oh my goodness!
And so we were raising money for Court Course. This is actually, it must have been at least 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
Huh.
So all these songs kind of fit together in a theme, one way or another.
It's certainly timely now.
Yeah.
How recently was the album released?
Last month. I think it was June. Yeah, June.
Wonderful.
Or May.
So we have a real debut here, folks.
Yeah.
And since we didn't get any call-ins, John Paul and I managed to figure out who that was. And do we want to say how?
we had a lot of help figuring it out.
Yes, we did. We were coached by the man himself.
He said, naturally, when he said Señor Blanco, I said, well, okay, Mr. White. Now, who would that be? And then Alex started giving some rather large hints, knowing that Claudio speaks German. He said, "My name is Weiss," or something like
no,
that.
No, I said, he said Weiss. My name, Weiss, and I said, there it is.
White, yes.
So it was Alex himself, folks.
That's who it is.
Thanks for playing.
Thank you, Mr. White.
My debut as a vocalist.
All right. Yes.
But, it's good in small amounts, kind of like a rare spice, just a little bit here and there. Mostly I'm an instrumentalist.
It has a folky quality to it.
Indeed.
Down there in the bottom of your range.
Yeah, it was.
Well, it wasn't Leon Russell, folks.
there you go. That's who I think of. Leon Russell and Tom Waits.
When I think of... I was kind of connecting with that kind of flavor.
Also Leonard Cohen and people Bob Dylan. People, I sang it more because I feel like it's just owning that I wrote it.
Sure.
Not that it's the purest sounding way
it's
of
mine.
Doing it.
That's
but, you know, like when Leonard Cohen, I wrote the songs, it's okay to sing a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. I think we should all take lessons. And who's to qualify our voices, for God's sake? Let's get out of that system. And if we have an expression, let's make it. And stay with it. And speaking of that, I guess we're going to something else. This will be the second an earlier CD. What's the name of the earlier CD?
The name of the CD is Nourishment. And actually, what's on your list?
And I believe Nourishment is the first piece we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nourishment is the one that we've got up now.
Okay.
And that's where we're going.
Yeah.
So here's a little nourishment for you folks.
This song was also written, just like Introducing Clarity, it was kind of composed around a traditional West African rhythm. Or I used the rhythm as the core of the... And a lot of the songs I write, I studied both Latin and West African drumming, and a lot of the songs I write, I'll use the traditional rhythms as the base for... composing in samba style or Cuban white. And this one is a West African rhythm called Sunu.
And when we're done with that, I want to come back and talk to you a little bit about how you and I first connected when I was stage managing Tierney Sutton and you were opening for her.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that.
Okay.
Here we have Nourishment by Alex Weiss.
Nourishment by Alex Weiss and Different Drum.
And that was Nourishment by Alex Weiss of Different Drum. This, just to remind you, is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else on 103.5 FM, here in the studio with my co-host John Paul.
Yes, indeed.
As well as the one and only, the inimitable Alex Weiss, sitting here in the studio. And by the way, that little high-pitched voice you heard right after me announcing Nourishment was actually me on helium. Or do you want to tell them the truth, Alex?
No, go ahead, tell them the truth, Alex.
That was Nora Brown, actually.
Nora Brown.
She lives about two blocks right across the street. We shouldn't tell people where she lives.
She's the daughter of...
She's now entering into college. She's the daughter of my sax player at the time, Jeff Brown.
All right, yeah.
And is full of... There's actually lots of kids and people of all ages speaking through the different parts of some of the songs.
Uh-huh.
But
neat.
That was her, yeah. And now she every time she hears it, she cringes. You know.
I want to go back to when you and I met. We first met on stage. I was stage managing Tierney Sutton. You were the opening band that night at Carolina Theater. Incidentally, one of our underwriters here at the Speakeasy.
Yeah, that was,
say hello
that was
and
a
thank
good,
them.
Good concert.
How did they find you? That's an interesting thing.
I think it was a friend, someone that promotes music in the area. His name is Mark Lee, and he recommended us.
Yes.
He recommended Different Drum, and they were looking at a variety of people, and so I don't know how many, maybe four or different people sent in their music. And in this situation, they want Tierney and her band got to vote on who they wanted to open the show.
Wonderful.
For her.
And she paid you a compliment. Just
the band members all unanimously wanted Different Drum. Apparently, that's what they told me. And
give us the lingo straight from her mouth. How she approached you in the ante room at the Carolina Theater.
Yeah, I was backstage, and we had just done our sound check, and she was getting ready to do hers, and we passed each other. And she looked at me, and she said, "So you're Alex Weiss?" And I said, "Yeah."
Cute babe, by the way, folks.
Yeah, and she said, "Well, I just want you to know that you were unanimously picked to open our show. So I'm sure you're good. I hope you're not too good, because I don't want you to make us look bad."
That's a great line.
I laughed, and she was great.
She was one fine-looking mama. Yeah.
Well, I really liked that instrumental piece that just played. I thought that
Nourishment.
Was very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, enjoyed that.
These melodies just flow through me. I've been doing this for 40 years.
It was a really nice, relaxing, moving along, flowing melody. I enjoyed that.
And then I guess we want to consider something less relaxing, which is always your part of the show, entitled The Unmedia, where we point to the more disturbing aspects, which may not be what we pointed toward today, and it's not that way every time, but John Paul does expose certain things that the media...
But not myself.
Well, let me finish the statement, and we'll get the whole picture. Don't give us these fragmentations. Anyway, he exposes things that the media refuses to tell us, being that most of them are owned by corporate interests. So here we go with some unmedia content. I give you your host in that regard, John Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, well, unmedia today, one thing I want to do first is just quickly restate, I think, what is the most obvious stuff about what's really happening in the world, really, in the United States.
Particularly
in particular. No steel skyscraper in the history of construction, no steel skyscraper has ever fallen due to fire. Never has happened. The World Trade Centers could not possibly have been brought down by fire that was started by jet fuel, which can't burn above 800 degrees in an open fire. And steel doesn't even begin to deform at 800 degrees. So,
and to melt steel practically the size of a city block is a little outside imagination.
Just, there's no way, because the entire building was a heat sink. So if you apply even a tremendous amount of heat to one place, it is quickly wicked through the whole rest of the structure. That steel is all interconnected. So there is absolutely no way that fire brought down that building. They were designed to take the impact of several planes the size of 757s. So the impact of the planes was not even anywhere close to being able to do the damage required to bring those buildings down. And WTC-7 was not hit by a plane. Yet it collapsed in 6.6 seconds straight into its own footprint. The only way that can happen is with controlled demolition. All three of those buildings were demolished by controlled demolition by experts. And if you want the opinion of an expert on whether or not that's the case, Google Danny Jowenko, J-O-W-E-N-K-O. He's a multi-decades expert who does demolitions all over Europe. He's paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to do them. He looked at the video of WTC-7 coming down, and he said without any doubt, he is 100% certain that it was controlled demolition. Now, this is one of the world-renowned experts in the field, and he's been questioned about this several times. You can find him on the web, Danny Jowenko, WTC-7. Any of those things will lead you to it. Now, on a happier note, I want to talk a little bit about energy today. I've come across a few very interesting things. There's a guy who is growing algae in these huge plastic bags that are like 14, 16 feet tall. He has them all lined up vertical in a greenhouse, and he's growing algae by circulating water through these bags that has algae in it. The advantage of doing it the way he's talking about is that by hanging the bags vertically, he gets a lot more solar radiation directly to the bags. And he also eliminates contamination by other forms of algae that would take over if he were doing this out in an open pond.
Is this a scientist or is this
you said? This is a scientist, okay. Yeah. And right now I can't remember his name, but maybe I can get it up. I'm not going to worry about it. If you want to find this stuff, it's easy enough to just Google it.
I think some of this has been on the news. Algae. I've heard a tidbit somewhere.
Now, the thing that he's discovered in doing this project, this pilot project, is that unlike the other one of the best producers of vegetable oil is palm, which grows by the acre about 800 gallons of fuel per year. He has determined that growing algae will bring 20,000 gallons per year per acre. Now that is huge, and so if this system were heavily invested in, we could have a source of fuel that's not only cleaner than everything else that is normally used as petroleum-based fuel, but is renewable. And so it's a system that it deserves a lot of attention. I don't think we should go permanently to using those kinds of fuels that have to burn, because they still are carbon-based, and we'd be better getting completely away from carbon-based. But this is a good potential transition fuel that could go for 10 or 20 years and could be, and then the energy developed from those could be used to build more permanent, truly renewable resources like solar and geothermal.
It's time we ended oil for blood.
Now here's another really interesting project that has been going on at MIT, which is this group of students at MIT has built a new solar collector, which uses small flat mirrors on a parabolic reflector. When you use mirrors as a parabolic reflector and you have to build them in the parabolic shape, it's extremely expensive. But he uses flat pieces of mirrors and mounts them on an array mounting, which produces the parabolic result. So that you don't have to buy these really expensive curved mirrors. You use cheap flat mirrors, you put them on this great big collector reflector array, and it's just like a satellite dish. But it's bigger.
And what does this accomplish?
What this does is it focuses the light on a heat box that's held up in front of the collector. So it focuses all the light up there, and it can produce up to 1,000 degrees of temperature on one of these things that are they're about 4 feet,
and converts that into energy.
Right. So the reflector is about 4 feet across, if I remember correctly, maybe a different number, something like that, several feet, and it focuses all the light on this one little area, and in that area, then you could put a transfer medium like water. Mm-hmm. Turn water to steam, use the steam to drive mechanical production of electricity. Also, there's another system that's coming out for storing heat that is pretty amazing. They found that if you heat salt to about 1,000 degrees. It then has the property of retaining heat tremendously well. In 24 hours, you only lose 1% of
Good
the
Lord.
Heat energy that you put into this salt that's been heated to 1,000 degrees.
Bet I'm not canoeing on the Dead Sea on a hot
Yeah,
day.
It changes the physical structure of the salt somehow to make it retain energy.
Interesting. But so actually, there's nowhere else for the heat to go once it gets into the center there.
I don't know exactly how it works, but I've been looking at that, and I was thinking, you know, that would be a wonderful combination. These new collectors could heat that salt. Then what? The reason why that's so important is because when the sun goes down, you'd still have heat that could continue to produce energy.
There was a
addition to that. Go ahead.
I was going to say there was somebody I was listening to the news too. There was a very powerful, I suppose, a very wealthy American this morning, promoting something he's already putting into effect with windmills.
Right.
That supposedly, where wind energy could produce enough electricity for the entire United States. That was one of his statements.
There is this guy came up with out of one concentrated area in, I think he said, in New Mexico.
I believe
or
so.
One of the southwestern states.
No, Utah, I believe, in one of those regions.
Yeah, somewhere out there, and they said that they could build this plant. There's basically this collection area for wind power that could power the entire United States.
And these structures are 40 stories high.
Yeah, they're huge structures. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
So certainly more things we can do than just surrendering to one medium.
Now, the other thing on the energy front that I've been looking at that I found recently was they've now developed a solar collector, a photovoltaic collector, that converts infrared light to electricity directly instead of UV light. Infrared covers 30% of the visible spectrum. Okay? Well, it's not visible, but it's of the light spectrum. It's not visible to the human eye.
Sure.
that's five times as much as UV does. Traditional UV collectors, that's how they collect their energy, from UV light, which is only about 6% of the spectrum. IR is 30%. That means there'd be five times as much energy in those. And they can be used to collect energy off of this concentrated solar collector I was just talking about. You could put the energy into the salt.
One thing can lead to another.
And the salt then would emit IR, and then these collectors could collect that and turn that into energy. So you'd have multiple combined systems that would produce tremendous amounts of energy.
But lots of food for thought, folks.
Yes. Just remember, people, learn about 9/11. 9/11 is the key to understanding the true nature of our government. Until you understand 9/11, you cannot understand the true nature of our government.
Or how to fix it.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah, brother.
Amen.
Okay, we're switching back over to Alex Weiss.
I'd like to mention, after you're done studying and you need a break from studying, and there's a lot to study.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
You could come and party at our house.
That's right. There we go.
All right.
Tell us about that.
We're having a house concert this Saturday night featuring our band and a wonderful sax player named...
And do you have a contact information, how people can find out about this, get up with you, and so on?
Yes.
Give us also your website.
You could actually contact me through the website, hear the music. Sure. It's www.differentdrum, that's one word, differentdrum.us.
That's the
website.
Are you giving out any phone numbers?
Yes, because if people have questions about it, it's always an eclectic get-together.
Plus, he has a new CD release, folks.
Yes, and we'll be doing some songs from that, some of the old standards, and some new compositions featuring Lisa Lindsay, an incredible alto sax player. She's
wonderful.
Each concert features a different aspect. And so my cell phone is 919-491-5089. 919-491-5089. You could always contact me. As long as I'm in range of a tower, I'll talk to you and you answer any question about the CD, the house concert. Tickets are $6 in advance or $10 at the door, and we'll be making some food. You can bring your own beverage, and it's a good time.
It sounds like it, yeah. And if all else fails, you can also go to my website, www.claudioarts.com, and I can remind you of these things, and also there is other information. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, on 103.5 FM.
And you are listening to WCOM LP Carborough Chapel Hill FM radio.
Wanted to make quick
103.5.
Mention. Sorry for interrupting you there, Chief.
All right.
Wanted to make a quick mention. Support your WCOM. WCOM is your listener-supported community radio station. We depend on you, our listeners, for support in keeping your community voice on the air. Every little bit is most welcome. We appreciate your donations. Just donate to donate, you can mail a check to WCOM, 201 North Greensboro Street, Carborough, North Carolina, 27510, or go to our website, which is www.communityradio.coop. That's two O's. And click on the Donate Now button to access our secure server and donate online. WCOM, again, depends on you to keep the local music and conversation flowing. Thanks from all of us. Keep that in mind, folks.
All right.
We would appreciate that. Again, this is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else. And I think we may be plugging a little more of Alex Weiss's music.
Speaking of plugging, have we plugged our underwriters?
Oh, we haven't, and I'm glad you brought that up. Actually, I want to say happy birthday to my brother, Dieter Nidvarok, who's
not,
out there
not
somewhere.
Not that he's an underwriter, but...
not that he's an underwriter, but he will be. He is tuning in, I believe, and otherwise at least he'll get the recorded version. So happy birthday, Dieter. 8th of July is his
happy
birthday.
Happy birthday, Dieter.
You can say it too, Alex.
Happy birthday. Dieter. I would play it if Dieter? I had an instrument.
That's it.
Dieter, yes.
Dieter. So,
great wishes, bro. And yes, yeah. We do want to mention that our underwriters are the Carolina Theater of Durham. And also studio Cabin in the Woods Studios. Of course, we still got to hear from John Demers. Haven't heard from him lately.
Yeah, well, he was here not long ago, but
and he's hiding
he's
in the
been,
woods now.
Well, he said he had to do some traveling. He had to go to L.A. He had to do some. He's trying to promote a film, and he's got a lot going on. So,
and
plus he's got wolves to take care of.
Right, exactly. He raises American dogs. That's what he calls them. I want one. He knows that. But anyway, so we'd like to thank our underwriters, and at some point we will be announcing more events coming up. The Carolina Theater is undergoing some reparations right now, some painting, and I think an audio,
audio
sound system
thing.
Is being put in.
I would really like to go in there and see what they're doing.
Of course, the cinemas are open. They're showing Mongol and a French film by Claude Lelouch, which I hear is really, really well done, a thriller. So, you know, do check them out for that. And I think on weeknights it's 7 and 9 p.m. And on weekends they have matinees, which I believe start around 2. So just check them out.
All right.
Thanks to the Carolina Theater and Cabin in the Wood Studios. Or Studio in the Wood Cabin, whatever. I got to get that straight. He still hasn't sent me the paperwork.
Yes, indeed.
So forgive me there, John. Well, anyway, back to Alex so we can sort
of
wrap the show.
Yes, we have one more cut lined up here, and we're running a little short on time, so if we're going to play it, we better do it.
We better do it quick. And also to remind you that Touchstones comes on next with Paul Nash.
This next cut was one that we did at a previous house concert, and it features Claudia Gomez, Colombian singer, along with our band Different Drum, doing El Carritero, Cuban piece, Guajira.
El Carritero. Okay, so that's not El Carritero. That's some other song, and just got an airhead running the controls here.
No free CD for you.
No free
yes,
CD
what is
for
this?
Me. But what we're going to do then is just go back and play the right cut. What if we do that?
How about that?
Would that fix things?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I think that's
okay,
how we can land this.
Let's try
thing.
That. Here we go. Let's see if this sounds right.
You got it.
All right, here we go. El Carritero. Thank you.
And to remind you folks once again, this is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, in the studio here with my co-host John Paul and Alex Weiss of Different Drum.
Yes, and since I screwed up that last cue, what we've done is we faded out the music, and we're going to talk about the end of the show here, and then we're going to end with Alex's piece that we were just playing.
El Carretero.
Yeah. El Carretero. What inspired that piece very quickly?
Oh, I didn't write that piece. Well, that's a Cuban composition.
Oh, that's
it's a traditional Cuban, yeah.
There we go.
But my, you know, that
Cuban
just happens
flavors.
To be, our repertoire isn't all original music. I mean, we draw from Brazil, sambas, that one, Cuban guajiras, salsa, cumbia, all different stuff, as well as South African.
Wonderful.
Which, as I know,
but I was raised, indeed. I just want to let you folks know, too, speaking of our show for next week, we've got Alan Hall coming on, the reviewer and theater critic.
That'll be fun.
Who's going to be going into all kinds of aspects, including on media content with us.
Yes, indeed.
And might as well, I guess, spill toward the end of the show. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, in the studio with Alex Weiss.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Different drum. It's been great, Alex, and we'll do this again. Signing off. Until next time, folks. Cheers.